Hey everybody, welcome to Broadway Babies. I'm Noelle Hannibal.
And I'm Stephanie Anderson.
Our guest today is the amazing John Batalese. Welcome to Broadway Babies, John.
Thanks. I'm so excited to be here and chat.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. So we're gonna dive right in and we're gonna start with just asking you a little bit about your journey into the arts.
Okay, my journey into the arts. Should I start at the origin story? Should I
Totally.
from birth?
Cool.
Okay.
Oh yeah, from like in the womb.
Great.
Please.
So I was born in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And I got bit by the theater bug very early. I'm from like a very athletic family, and so they didn't quite know what to do with me, but I loved a movie musical. And there were many hours spent performing all of like the Annie musical around my house and Grease. But the first live show I saw was at the Walnut Street Theater in Philly. I think it was the Walnut. There was a tour of Grease going through, so maybe it wasn't the Walnut. But Frankie Avalon was playing the Teen Angel,
Nice.
and he is from Philly originally, and the movie and all that. And so he walked on stage and people went nuts and he got a standing ovation. And I was probably 6 or 7 at the time. And I turned to my parents and I was like, I want to do that. And so when I saw that Frankie Avalon entrance applause, I was kind of ruined. So they put me into theater camps and I did that all growing up. And then I went to a few summer programs, training programs, and ended up at CCM, the Cincinnati Conservatory of Music. And then I graduated and moved to New York and have been bopping around ever since.
Bopping.
Yeah.
Nice. Bopping.
Bopping around.
Bopping
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. So I want to start. I want to go. I think I want to go like a little backwards instead of in chronological order of the few things that I know that you've done that I want to talk about. And I know Steph has some. I kind of want to start with how I first saw you and
Okay.
what led to me sending you a random message on Instagram saying, "Hey, be on our podcast. You're awesome." So my favorite YouTube vocal coach is Hannah Bales, and she does reaction videos. She
Yes.
started this at the start of the pandemic. She's only been around doing this, like she's a vocal coach where she lives, but she's only been doing this YouTube thing for a year. And she did reaction videos to Bridgerton, the musical, TikTok stuff. And I saw you, and while I was watching you sing, I went on to TikTok, which I really should use
There's
TikTok,
no one
but
there.
I've made two really stupid TikTok videos. But I went and I followed you, and then I followed you on Instagram because I was like, oh my God, this guy. So
Thank you. I don't understand TikTok at all.
neither. I don't get it.
And it has
Totally.
been so
You are
amazing.
rocking it. You are totally like rocking TikTok.
It has been really amazing. My first TikTok video, which is the Bridgerton one, was in end of January. And when I tell you I was in a spiral that week prior, I literally had 3 followers on TikTok. One of my friends forced me kind of to make the video, and I know Abigail, who wrote it, loosely. We've never met, but I know her sister, and we follow each other on social media. And I'm a big fan of all of her pop songs. So I was like, oh, this song is kind of in my head. I'll record it just because I'm doing nothing and I'm bored at my parents' house. And I just watched it like blow up over a 24-hour span. And I was like, what do I do? I guess I have to start making more of these. It was really interesting how quickly it, kind of took off, because the Bridgerton stuff is just, exploded, but it has been very fun and has opened a lot of like cool doors. So as much as I don't understand TikTok, I really am a big fan.
Okay, so I just watched a video of you sitting in traffic doing a duet with an accompanist on TikTok. And
I was thinking, wait, Am I allowed to say that that was at Dodger Stadium while I was waiting to get my vaccine?
When it started taking off, I was like, why is everybody talking about TikTok? It's just like this thing to watch cat videos, which you can do on YouTube. I don't get it. But honestly, truly, you are, I watched a few videos since we spoke of from the TikTok stuff, because I'd only seen the Bridgerton stuff. Mm. And you are totally, you, it looks like you know exactly what you're doing, and I love it. I'm so here for it.
Awesome. I'm fooling them.
fooling them. No, that's acting. That's
yes,
acting.
It is. It is. It only took a BFA and a few professional credits for me to learn how to work on TikTok. Like, I think that's the funniest thing, is that people I've like auditioned for multiple times have like now been messaging me being like, I love your videos. And I'm like, you know that I've been in front of you in person, right? Like, but it is the power, like, I think in this time where we can't, you know, perform live, it really is cool. And I think when it was exploding that first 24 hours, it was like the closest I have been to live performance, like the rush and adrenaline in a year. And you would never, like, I think, suspect that all of these likes and comments. And I just watched The Social Dilemma. So there is a, if you haven't watched that, it's amazing, but there's obviously a dark side and a downside to all of the likes and comments. But it was a really cool feeling. And it was like, okay, they're singing a new song. They're releasing that tomorrow. And I've got to learn it as soon as it happens and post a cover of it, because these tween girls are commenting that I have to sing it and I can't let them down. but it was really cool and exciting. And I think there's a way that these TikTok musicals, you know, influence whatever the next chapter for live theater following all this will be. Not sure how they'll influence it, but I think they have provided a necessary outlet for a lot of people during this time.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, between Ratatouille and the Bridgerton right. thing, I mean, they're, it's been, you know, for someone who's hasn't been, I mean, I can't say that I haven't been I can't say I haven't been active on social media and doing things, because I do, like, we have this. And as I said, I do live streams on my actor page on Facebook, which for a period of time was like, I just, every Saturday, I call it quarantine Saturdays, and I was doing a show, and I basically would choose the music on like Wednesday, and I had the lyrics in front of me on the screen, and I like, and then if somebody would request something, I'd just pull up a backing track on YouTube and do it. Yeah. And you know, the comments and stuff, and then all of a sudden it blew up, and I had like 30,000 people watching me. And then the next week there were like 20,000. And I was like, I don't know what Facebook is doing right now, but this is kind of awesome, because those hearts that come up and the, you know, the likes and the comments. And of course there are always the horrible people, of which I would call them, like I'd see their horrible comment and I'd be like, okay, hey, Joe Blow, you're an asshole. I'm going to continue singing now. You don't have to be here, you know?
Yeah.
But right. So I totally get that. You know, it's the closest, it was like the closest thing to that we have right now. Yeah. Is, and just the interaction.
Yeah, it's been an awesome tool. It really has. It is, I have fallen off the bandwagon with posting, because I was like, these people really like the Bridgerton things, but I'm not part of the Bridgerton, you know, team. But it's been fun, and it is nice. Like, it's also nice to connect with people on there, which is, I had only used TikTok for watching, like you said, like cat videos. I watched like a lot of like comedians, like people doing like sketches throughout quarantine. And that first like few days of posting, two of my like favorite TikTok comedians had followed me, and I immediately messaged them. I was like, hey, I don't really know how to use this app, but I am obsessed with you, and you're the only reason I would use it before this. So I think like, they're like, I call them my TikTok friends now. And yeah. You know, some of the Vocal Coach Reacts things and all of those, they're people that I would not have met who live in different parts of the country now, who I feel like I've started some sort of relationship with, which is fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. I love it. I love it. And I'm so, I was such, like, I sent Hannah a message and let her know that we were going to have you on the podcast. And I said, it's because of you. It's because of your reaction video. Cause you know,
I love that.
Yeah. So that's great. And then the Seth thing, the Santino Fontana Seth that you won. I mean, did you get a prize or was it just a, hey, you won?
I got a pass to watch the next performances.
All right. That's yes. Fair.
No, the prize was having Seth talk about me.
Right.
My childhood fangirl self, I listen to Broadway XM every day I'm in my car. Let's get one thing straight.
Yeah.
So I was on right there cloud nine. And I think my dad told me this, and I don't know if it's fully true. So Lou Battelis could be giving us wrong facts. But I, you know, growing up, I did not have anyone in my family who was a performer. And I lived in suburban Philadelphia where I did like my Catholic school productions, and I went to my summer camp and didn't have really any professional training. And so I saw 13 the musical. That was like kind of I was around 13 when 13 was coming out. And all of that cast was, you know, my age. So I saw that and immediately went home and started scouring the internet for like Broadway casting calls and all of this. And Brighton Beach Memoirs, the revival was happening, and Jay Binder was casting it in New York. And so I sent them a letter. I like handed my parents a headshot and resume and a cover letter that I put together myself. It was like, mail this. And so they're like, what are you doing? Okay. So they put it in the mail. And a few weeks later, my mom, like, we get a call to the house from this woman. And she's like, hi, I'm Jay Binder's assistant. And we're calling your son up to come audition for Brighton Beach Memoirs. And my mom thought it was my aunt playing a joke on her. And she's like, Mary, this is so rude. Do not do this to him. Like, and she's like, I'm sorry, ma'am. I do not know what you're talking about. This is Nicole from Jay Binder's office. And so finally I was like, okay. So I go up. There's no reason me, a blue-eyed, very chubby boy with braces, should have been auditioning for that revival. But it was very nice of them to call me up. And he was like, look, you have a lot of spunk to do this. I don't really get letters like this often. You should get training, blah, blah, blah. All this to say, they spent a lot of time with me in the room, and there was a person in there who was like reading with me, but not like sitting down, was up, and they had him working with me. Cut to, my dad was watching the thing. He was like, that's the guy who was reading with you. And it was Santino Fontana, which I never put together all of these years. Like I hadn't, and then I was like, oh, of course he was in that revival.
I love that.
Yeah, so I had not put that together. And I'm obviously a huge fan of his and follow his career very closely. And I did not put that together.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but it was a very cool full circle moment where, I mean, yeah. I had no business being in that room, but it did lead to, like Jay was like, you need to look into these college programs. And I submitted an audition for the University of Michigan's summer program that summer. And they accepted, I think, mostly rising juniors and, or rising seniors and like three or four rising juniors, which is what I was. And the other rising junior was Aaron Simon Gross, who was the lead of 13. And he was my roommate. So it was like all these weird things. And that's how I ended up going to CCM. And it was the yellow brick road, I like to call it, of like people, just lucky coincidences leading me to the right path.
That's amazing. I mean, that's a lot of what it is in this business, isn't it? You know? So it was so fun seeing you on that Seth thing, because I clicked on it having recently seen you on, and you know,
right,
didn't know who you were before, saw you on Hannah's thing, and then I click on the thing, I'm like, it's that guy again. And that, I think it was that night that I messaged you, because I was like, he's following me now.
I am. It was all part of my plan.
John is stalking.
I know.
To pick up off of Noelle, so she saw you, messaged you, and then she messaged me. She's like, oh my God, We have to have him on. I was like, okay.
Link.
Yeah, she gives me the link. She gives me the link to Seth's thing. And I'm like, okay, clicked it. And I felt like I was like back work, because I used to work in children's theater. So I was like, okay, he's getting 16 bars. I'm really tired. No offense. But I was like, 16 bars is all he's getting for me right now. I'm kind of tired. Click it. You started singing. I went, yeah, yes, we need to have him on. Yes, we do. Yes, you're correct. You are right. Yeah. All that's I needed was like, I didn't even get to 16 bars. Like, I think you maybe sung 10 minutes ago. Yes. Yes. Yes.
I wish that's how easy it was all the time.
Right?
Listen, you don't really need a lot of time to figure out what you're looking for. No. You really don't. So, I say that on the other side of the casting table, but as a performer, I'm like, 16 bars? Don't you want to hear the whole song?
No, I love a
build.
I love it. I want everything to be 90 minutes or less.
Thank you. I will take
that to my grave.
Thank you.
After I worked in Vegas, kind of soon after graduating college, and that show was 90 minutes because everything in Vegas is, 90 minutes.
Quick, yeah.
And then I moved back to New York and I went to see, I forget what show it was, but it was like Tap, Tap, Tapping on 3 hours. Hammer. And I was like losing my mind. I was like,
Your bladder was like, hey.
Yeah, I was like, I've had too many margaritas for this. I need a restroom and a REM cycle.
Yes, I have to agree with you. I love a one act. I didn't used to. I used to want that like hour and a half, act one, intermission, hour, act two, right? Yeah. And then I started seeing, I saw a few one act shows and I was like, oh, and then I was in a one act show. We did Hedwig here, which we've done two runs of now. And I was like, oh my God, like I'm out of the theater at 9:30.
Nice, huh?
You're like, I can be home for Grey's Anatomy.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, so.
What?
Yeah, so, and then I think I went to New York, I think it was that same year, and I went to see the band's visit, and I was like, yes, one act. I like this. So
yeah, some shows are worth a what act. Some shows are worth like new intermission, 90 minutes tops. Yeah. Like, yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
Some of them I'm like, why isn't this 90 minutes?
Exactly.
Because I've seen that. I'm like, oh, this must be a one act. I'm like, there's no intermission, obviously. And then I'm like, what do you mean? We're back. There's another. But honestly, at this point, to be in the theater at this point, I would sit there for 4 hours.
Nicholas Nickleby, come back tomorrow, okay?
Harry Potter. When I heard,
oh my God.
I still haven't seen it, but I'm like, I don't want to go back. I don't want to go. Like, I don't. I want to see. I go to New York and I want to see multiple shows. I don't want to like spend all my time seeing, even though I've heard so many wonderful things about it, and I'm sure it's fantastic. But it's just like, I have limited time. I go into town for 3 days. I want to see 5 shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was in New York when the shutdown happened at the Hirschfeld Theater, handing in my ticket to see the matinee of Moulin Rouge on March 12th.
No.
Yeah.
And I was seeing Company that night and I was like, are you kidding me right now? Yeah. Are you kidding me?
I had already made my escape from the city at that point.
Yeah.
You already left?
My mom had told me, my mom is big in public health and, follows it very closely. And in January, she was like, this is going to be bad. You should, you should really be wary. And my family's from Philadelphia originally. And so I was going back and forth to teach a couple times that month. My parents were away. And so she was like, you should take a car to New York in case it gets spooky. Like, just in case you need to leave. And I'm like, look, New York's not going to close, lady. And I...
Mother knows best.
Always, always. And so I went up there and I think I was, you know, 4 or 5 days of having my car up there. And it was while Flying Over Sunset was in previews. And one of my close friends, Katie, is married to Tony Yazbek. And he was in previews for that. And they were going to the dress rehearsal. And they live a little bit out of the city and asked me, I was babysitting for their son while they were there because they were like, it's going to be late. You can just stay over. And so I'm up there with my car and they come back from the show. And he was like, we're not opening, like Broadway's shutting down tomorrow. You should go home. Like you should go back to Philly if you can. So I woke up at like 6 o'clock in the morning, drove into the city, left my car running on 9th Avenue. Like I was like fully like running from a tidal wave.
Oh my God.
I threw like things in a bag for 2 weeks, ran out. I had a $90 parking ticket because I did in fact leave my car on 9th Avenue. I speed out of the tunnel. I'm like, I'm out of here. See you never. And get pulled over, get a speeding ticket in New Jersey. Like I was that insane. And little did I know that I would, you know, be leaving the city for over a year.
Wow.
But yeah.
Love Actually Live.
Yes.
So yeah. I missed that by about a week on a visit. But okay. So Love Actually Live, when I first heard about it, I was like, yes, absolutely. And then Justin Sargent was in that as well. And I was like, oh my God, Justin's in it. Oh, I really want to see it. I unfortunately didn't get to. But I love the idea of that. Tell us a little bit about your experience with that.
It's awesome. I love a holiday rom-com, first of all. Sorry, my coffee hasn't kicked in. I'm slamming it over here. I love a holiday rom-com. I actually wasn't in the show with Justin, but I did do Baz, the Baz Luhrmann musical in Vegas.
Oh, Vegas.
So Justin is one of my favorite people, but it's the same company, which is For the Record, which is LA based and, you know, started at Rockwell. And I was introduced to them by doing Baz. And then it opened up this whole huge world of LA theater and all the stuff that happens here that I know I love and has kind of drawn me here. But Love Actually basically takes the songs from the film that we know and love and puts them to the live show. What they did at the Wallace is a really cool hybrid of musical and a viewing of it. So they have these huge screens that are almost like a character and go on and off the stage with clips from the show. So you'll see Alan Rickman saying like the lines you love, and then it'll, you know, go off and behind it will be the person playing that character in a matching costume and singing whatever song they're singing. So I played the Hugh Grant role of the Prime Minister, which was great and a dream come true. So I got to kind of sing the title song and I got to, you know, dance around for Jump for My Love and then close it out. So it was a dream.
Amazing. I was going to ask if you got to do the stair dance.
I did with Carrie Manilakis singing Jump, which is like,
oh, amazing.
It's incredible. Having her as a co-star was unbelievable. I was like, no, you don't understand. I did burn your YouTube videos onto a CD to drive around and listen to in high school and college. Like I went from fangirl to like having to play it cool. But it was a really great experience. And I think there's an exciting future for the show. So I'm happy to be a part of it. And they released an album. We couldn't obviously do it this year, but we did a live stream version with some of the different casts of it from the past iterations, because they had done it in a workshop in a smaller part of the Wallace. And then 2 full main stage productions of it. And it was great. And then we released a greatest hits album of it this winter as well.
Oh, amazing. I'm going to look for the album. Is the live stream, is it something that's still available?
I don't think so. I think if it were to be, it would be on the For the Record website.
Okay.
Which I think is fortherecordlive.com. Maybe fact check that. I could be wrong.
I will fact check everything you say.
Perfect. But yeah, they're a really awesome company to work for, and what they did with the Baz Luhrmann show was just unbelievable. I loved being a part of that.
I did see clips of that on your website because, you know, had to go over there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I did see clips and I was like, damn, how did I miss that? So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was,
it was a blast to do.
Yeah. And it was like a big, it's funny how many people I overlap with now post doing it who had done some iteration of it, you know, at Rockwell or in a bar here in LA. And I thought that was a really cool part of musical theater life that I didn't have exposure to prior to that. I didn't know that there was so many opportunities here to perform and really make things that are your own. I think the trap we kind of fall into in New York theater is waiting for someone to give us a job, which obviously happens everywhere. But I feel LA theater, there's a lot more creativity and people trying to make things together and have at least more access to venues, which I thought was cool.
Yeah, we'll make it new. It's fascinating to me. I was working at the time with a group, I call them kids, but they're really not. that were a part of For the Record when it was just making its thing. Mm-hmm. So, and a lot of them ended up doing the shows that were at the Rockwell. And I think like Lindsay was in that. I know she did a couple for them.
I heard about Bear, Caitlin Airy was in it, I think, as well.
Yes. And Payson, of course. Yes. I always say, of course, because it's Payson. a lot of them, because I think he did the Baz Luhrmann.
He did.
Here in Vegas, I think. Yes.
He did both.
Yeah. So it's great to see how how successful and how big it's become.
Yeah.
From just, you know, doing their thing over at the Rockwell. And now it's like two places and it's getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
So that's nice. And I love the whole concept. It was a great the whole concept of how they would put together these. It's not even really a jukebox musical per se, like we know it. They really kind of made their own niche.
Yes.
In how they present it. Really nice.
I love it. And I think it's a form of theater that people love. People who love theater love it. And also people who are not super big theater fans still love it because it's what they know and love before. Yeah. And I did the Cruel Intentions National Tour, and that is a different group of people, but a similar concept and a similar start at Rockwell. And doing that across the country in places that don't have access to that. And they think of theater as Hello Dolly and My Fair Lady, which all have their place in the musical theater canon and we love them. But seeing Cruel Intentions, I mean, the amount of like girls night out groups that would come to like Pensacola and were losing their minds and would treat us like we were like celebrities at the stage door was so cool because they had never seen anything like that. And, you know, they were so used to it being so serious and taking itself so seriously. And while the show had moments of heart, they're going to lose their minds when, you know, we go into I Want It That Way and Bye 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 and all that stuff. So it was really a fun thing. It's been a fun niche that's kind of been my career thus far, has been these movies turned to musicals. And I've loved it. It's been really great.
Great.
I hopefully they'll be get licensed to do more of them. Cause I think it's a great little, like you said, it's a great little thing to kind of introduce people into musical theater who wouldn't necessarily go to see, you know, traditional theater. It's a great way to introduce them to that. So you mentioned Bye Bye Bye. And I Want It That Way. Got, you know, boy bands. I'm going to go into another segue. Thank you. talk about one of my other favorite shows, which is Forever Plaid.
Oh!
Yeah. And I'm so sad that I did not get to see you perform in that because it's one of my favorites. It just is.
Oh my, I think this is the first time anyone's ever brought Forever Plaid up to me in a
really?
Oh, I'm so happy. Oh, I'm in heaven.
Stephanie did a deep dive.
That was my first.
Well, listen.
Yeah.
I am a huge fan of a cappella. So, I mean, I love like a cappella groups and that kind of thing. So when I saw that on your resume, I was like, oh my God, Forever Plaid. A cappella. It just makes me so happy to see that.
It's a hard show, but once you know it,
I can imagine.
Yeah,
I can imagine.
That was my first paid theater gig. Really? In college, yeah. I went to school in Cincinnati, and they were doing it on the Showboat Majestic, which was on the Ohio River.
Wow.
And I think it was one of like the oldest showboats in the country. Sarah Jessica Parker performed there as a child. That was their big claim to fame. but they were doing it like over the summer. And so it was me and three boys who were the class above me at CCM. And it was wild doing that show on a boat, and it's next to the baseball stadium. And so every time they would get a home run, they would shoot off fireworks and the boat would like go crazy. And like, we would like literally like be doing the plunger number and like, they would just fly. So then by popular demand, we did do Plaid Tidings. I think a year later, 2 years later, that was on land in the wintertime.
Luckily.
But it was fun. It was a really cool first job. I was so stressed about it and all the harmonies. But it was really cool.
Yeah, that's a tough little show.
Yeah.
I mean, thinking about it from, you know, a performer standpoint, not that, you know, Noel and I would ever do Forever Plaid, but, you know.
Hey, but you never know.
Yeah, I mean, the Marvelous Wonderettes.
I mean, they have like, I mean, yeah, but they have, what is it? They have Beehive, I mean, which is just which is just as crazy, you know, musically, and trying to make sure you got that harmony going. I mean, I did Little Shop like 3 or 4 times, and that was like, is this the right note? who am I this production? I don't even know now. and like, Crystal, what? God, who am I? But because I ended up doing like one production, I was Crystal. The next production, I was Ronette. I'm like, the only one I'm missing is Chiffon. So,
if I had to switch, I could never play another character in Forever Plaid because I only know, I can't hear any
other.
That's
what I mean. Like, this is all I know right now. This is the only road I can go on, people.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Nope. This is it. This is it.
We'll check the box. We'll not consider any other roles.
Right. No, sorry.
We're always like, I don't want to check that box because I don't want them to think that I'm not, you know, like adaptable or whatever, but nope.
Plus, you're like, the book is up here. Like the minute the Little Shop starts to play, like the opening number, the music drops, I can still hit my notes. Like I know what they are. They're in my head. They will never leave. That's one show that will never leave me. It's because it took me so long to figure everything out. But and I think it's part of the reason why I love those kind of shows that have like groups like that, because I really understand the time it takes to make that work. We're not even talking about just staging it too. Like that was probably crazy too. It's like, I've got to remember this note, and on this note, I'm down here, and on this note, I got to move the mic here. And you know, there's a lot that goes into it. I wish I'd seen you in that.
Thanks. I, you know, I'm sure there's a VHS or a DVD
somewhere. Right?
I think the showboat's been let down the river at this point. But you're in the basement somewhere.
Check the basement. I just actually bought, I was going through my basement and found one of those big storage bins of not only like regular size VHS, but like the little VHS from camcorder. And I was like, how am I ever gonna, I don't want to pay like, you know, places charge you like $10 per tape or something. And I went on Amazon and I bought this little thing that, because I still had my VCR in the basement. I still have a Betamax in my basement. Not that I
hold. You have a Betamax?
Because I have Beta tapes. So now, I got.
I need to do a light Google search because I've never heard. I don't know a Betamax.
Betamax was like late 70s or it was pre VHS. Early 80s. It was the first thing before VHS. It was like a VHS, but it's a different. I have all the like Fame and Concert things on Betamax.
On Beta? Yeah. Well,
but
Beta
I bought this little thing for like $10 on Amazon and you plug it into the back of the Beta or the VHS in the like RCA jacks and then it's USB.
Oh, okay.
And you know, you have to convert in real time and obviously it's not like HD or any, you know, it's just to, I want to get rid of these tapes. So I just like, sometimes I'll just put on one and I just leave it running, you know, while I do other things. Like, but I found 50 tapes. I'm like, okay, the high school production of Working that I was in, or the, like when I did Gypsy in Thousand Oaks, or, you know, like just all sorts of weird random shows. The first time I did Hair,
always a part of the tribe.
You know, yes, definitely. You never leave the tribe. You never leave the tribe. So I found the VHS, and the only digital copy I had of me singing Frank Mills was of me filming my television while I played the like a couple years ago, or 10 years ago on Facebook. I filming my television. Now I can actually like digitize the whole show, which will be fun to kind of watch that now. All these years.
I mean, I love an archived show. I love, like, my favorite thing about living in New York was going to the Lincoln Center archives and just like picking up and being like, I don't want to talk to anyone today, and I'm going to watch the original production of blank. Like, it's just like, it's so special. I think I love filmed things. I know bootlegs are terrible and we hate bootlegs, but I love.
We don't talk about slime tutorials.
We don't talk about that.
Ever.
We don't talk about slime tutorials ever.
Ever. I love a pro shot. That is true. I love a pro shot. And you know, I think that with, you know, how much stuff has come out in the last year of streaming content, and you know, with Steph and I talked in our last episode about, you know, the return of Broadway with Diana and how they did a pro shot that they're releasing on Netflix like within months of them opening on Broadway, which I think is a really interesting kind of rollout for them, because, and I think it will work, because I think people are going to watch it. I don't think that people watch either slime tutorials or pro shots that are, you know, you pay the $30 to Stellar or whatever it is to watch, you know, thing. I don't think that that deters people from then going and seeing live theater.
No.
I think it encourages people who might otherwise not have gone to see a live show to go see it. Like people seeing with all these musical TV shows, Zoe's and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and stuff. The amount of people that I know that have never been into musicals that are more interested in musicals because of seeing things like that and the streaming content they've gotten to see in the last year, they can't wait to like take their first trip to New York.
Right. I think there is. I think just if I were growing up and watching that, I mean, I would be forcing my parents to take me to New York as soon as I could. You know, if that production of Grease was happening, you know, as I was playing the VHS over and over, I would have been on the first train to New York. Just because you want to see what you fangirl over. I mean, even with the Hamilton being filmed, I don't think that would deter it. If anything, it's encouraged people to want to see
absolutely
the production when it reopens or it comes to a city near them. So I think there is a definite benefit to it. And all of the streaming things, people have been so creative this year about putting together content and doing, like, I did a full production of Songs for a New World that was over Zoom. And then we filmed on a soundstage completely separate. So we never interacted with the other cast members. And they put together a finished product that was amazing. Like, it was beyond what I could have imagined that they were going to do. And it really, like, it filled a void, for the time being, at least, for their subscribers and everything, that at least they had felt like they were a part of the theater in a small way. Sure. So it is interesting how resourceful we as artists can be when things are taken from us.
Absolutely. We did our little pivot.
Yeah.
And I think we're ready to pivot back.
Yeah, I think it's a time to pivot, turn back onto a real stage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We can't wait. I was just talking with I have the same team that I work with of shows I produce. I produce rock musicals primarily. Okay. And I have the same music director and the same director. And we had done Hedwig in 2018. We did it at Pride in 2019. We toured with it across Canada, which was amazing. We went to Prince Edward Island and, you know, like Toronto, and we went to Pride festivals and we did it. And then we did it again 2019 in Montreal. We were supposed to do it last year. Obviously Pride was canceled.
Yeah.
This year there may be a Pride, but I won't be fully vaccinated until August 5th because of this delay. And Pride is the 9th to the 15th. And I said, I can't, in good conscience, as a producer, much as I want to be back on stage, because if I could do one show for the rest of my career, playing Yitzhak is the greatest role I've ever played.
Yeah.
I would, you know, I really want to do it, but I don't think it would be it would be irresponsible of me as a producer to put my cast, who many of them haven't had their first, or cast and band haven't had their first, you know, in that kind of a position. And then audiences, and it's a drag club, and it's, you know, like 150 seats or something. Yeah. And it's just not yet. So we had like a little meeting and we said, let's look at, we used to always do a show in the end of November, like, okay, right around American Thanksgiving, as we call it. And I said, let's look at doing something then, because by then, anybody who wants to be vaccinated will have been vaccinated. And I think that it's a much more realistic and time to consider putting up a show, as much as we want to do it now, you know?
Right. It feels so close. It feels like right in our grasp.
Yeah.
But there is a little bit of a waiting period still, which is hard. I think this feels almost harder than the beginning, in some ways.
Yeah,
I'm like, I'm at this point where I'm in a new city, and I'm wanting to do all of these things, and it feels so weird to be like, I can't yet. I have to wait, and I still have to do everything virtually, and, you know, contacting people for new projects and stuff are all like with the caveat of in a few months. They're like, we'll get back to you about this if it happens. Maybe there's a 30% chance that it's happening. Like, so it's very weird. It's almost easier to go back to just full-time bunker where you're eating Cheez-Its and watching The Real Housewives, but
oh my god, eating Cheez-Its. I'm currently, I'm in the place right now where that was the, I can't remember what I was eating back then, but it was whatever it was, I was eating a lot of it. But now my best friend in LA knew that this week was going to be hard for me with moving my mom and all this kind of stuff, you know, and like the complicated feelings of like, am I doing the right thing? And she went and got our favorite pastry that we've been eating since we've grown up, which is the chocolate chip Danish from Western Bagel. And she UPS'd me. Oh, you have to.
Should I get the car?
You warm it, you can DoorDash it, because I send them to her all the time. You warm it up in the microwave for like 40 seconds. It's like
delicious.
Full of chocolate. She UPS'd me
Western Bagel.
A box.
Oh my god.
Of three Danish, some Japanese bath salts, and this, she knows what my favorite thing.
Not a butter. Oh, I love a nutter butter.
She spent $50 to UPS this box.
Oh, that was sweet of her.
So that's what I'm currently eating.
Snacking on
breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
I've had to stop buying the things I like to eat. I'm like, look, you need to cool it. I don't know moderation.
Well, because yeah, we're getting ready to open up again. You can't be, you know.
Got to get back into fighting shape.
Got to get right and tight.
Yeah, the skin's got to glow. I've started my skin routine right again. And tight,
people. Right.
SPF twice a day. Trying.
There we go. Yeah, smooth it out. There we go. Yeah. Get it right and tight.
It's a struggle. There was a point where I was like, I may just be in my parents' house forever. This might be.
Oh, God. And as you're thinking about it, you're like, and why am I starting to be okay with that?
Yes. That's what I was like. I need to get away because I am getting too comfortable here. Mm-hmm. I was like, I can't have my parents doing my laundry. This has to end. I need to be self-sufficient. I was like, I was self-sufficient for a lot of years. And it's scary how quickly you can revert back to your middle school self. Oh my God. I was like, I cannot be listening to the last 5 years of my childhood bedroom in my mid-20s.
Wow.
You know?
I mean, you can, but...
Yeah.
I was there for 11 months. I was...
and we got to go.
I mean, there you go. You were in your parents' house. I had my mom here.
Right.
I'm sure it was very similar in that, like, we are grown-up people living with our parents again. Steph, you've got your mom there. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah.
Your mom and your son. I couldn't. I just was like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Anymore. I can't.
I mean, like, I keep trying to, my dad always says this thing, which he probably stole from someone, but he always says, who knows what's good and what's bad? And he uses that a lot, you know, when I'm like, I didn't get this audition, or I got this and I don't really want to do it. And he's like, you don't know what will lead you to what. And I had been planning to come out here to LA in January, just because my family spends part of the time out here. And I had been back and forth because I was at the Wallace and I did La Mirada last year. And so I had been living here and I was like, if I don't need to be in New York right now, I may as well come out here for a bit. I have a really great group of friends out here and we'll just see. I need some sunshine. And so my family had been like, don't go yet. It was January. The numbers were still really bad and spiked high. And I'm like, I cannot stay at my parents' house one more day. Like, I love them, but one of us is going to go for each other's throat. And I'm not sure who it's going to be yet. And so they were like, why don't you go? They have a beach house in Jersey. And they're like, why don't you just go down there for like a week and just kind of, you know, be by yourself for a little bit. And that's when I made that TikTok video. And I made it the day I was supposed to fly to California. And I was so mad that my flight was canceled and I'm sitting there eating pizza. I'm like, I'm just going to sing this in my house. And little did I know it would lead to this and an interview with the Today Show and like all of this stuff that had my plan happened the way I thought it should, I would not get to meet you guys and all of these cool things wouldn't happen. So it is a trust the journey sort of mentality that I think we're forced to face right now, but it does have its benefits.
It definitely does.
Give it up to the
universe.
Yeah,
it definitely does.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, one more thing.
Okay.
Shout out to Autumn Reeser because I know her. I love Autumn. Yeah.
Oh.
She's the sweetest woman. I absolutely love her.
I have to text her because she is just. I called her when I moved out here. And I was like, look, help. What am I doing? Why did I come here? Like, and she just couldn't be lovelier and kinder and more.
Exactly.
Like check in, like just the best. I really am a big fan.
When I met her, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe who I'm meeting right now. She's like, oh no. And I'm like, no, you don't understand.
Yeah. The best energy.
Don't understand. It's so weird when you say that to people. Like, no, you're not. Yeah, I do understand. But you don't understand. Yes, just the sweetest and loveliest person. Lovely, lovely, lovely. But so when you talk to her, tell her I said hello.
I will. She's also not, I won't keep, you know, repeating the same thing, but it's another thing of who knows what's good and what's bad. I met her by complete chance. I had done these demos for the show Modern, which is what she directed me in at USC. And I was not a student. So I was very much elderly at that point. But I, comparatively, they were like, when did you graduate college? I was like, listen, not only a few
don't
years
even ask.
Before you get it.
None of your business.
Literally. But I had, done these demos, and I was in a kind of a phase of, it was 2019, and I had finished a workshop of Chasing Rainbows, which was a Broadway bound show. And then I was knew I was going on tour with Cruel Intentions, but I had this weird 2 month gap where it was the dead of winter in New York. I hate winter. And I was like, I'm just going to go to LA. I have no plan. I'm just going to Airbnb a house and stay there for that little time. And I had done these demos for the show Modern for a few months leading up to that, just like backup stuff, some solo stuff. And they were doing like a read through at Pearl Studios with Wine. And they're like, we just need to hear the script. Can you come and read the lead? I'm like, yep, I've been friends with these people for years. And so I go, and I didn't know why they were doing it. And I'm leaving my house as I'm packing it up. And I'm like, why am I going to LA? I have no reason to be there. I'm just gonna be wasting money. And so they tell me, they're like, oh, we're doing this because we are doing it at USC starting tomorrow. For 2 weeks, we're doing a workshop, and like, we are kind of freaking out. And so I was like, oh, it's so funny. I'm going to be out there. I'd love to see it. And they're like, we don't have a lead yet. Can you just come do it? And I'm like, sure, I guess. Now I have a purpose. I go out there. Autumn was the director. She has been so helpful the rest of my life. And then this show has turned into, I did it 5 more times throughout that year. I did it in Seattle. I did it for Stephen Schwartz and Lynn Ahrens and Scott Frankel in New York at the ASCAPs. Like, wow. It turned into this huge thing, and a big part of my life. And I literally had no idea that that would have happened. I was just, something in me was like, you should go to LA for these few weeks. So yeah, who knows what's good and what's bad. That can be the title of the
there end. It is again.
That's all I have.
There it is again. Yeah. Trust your gut. That's what I'm learning to do, is not poo-poo that whole, when your gut is like, you should do that. You want to do that.
Yeah. And right before you do it, you're like, this is a terrible idea.
This is a horrid idea, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
See what happens. Yeah. Actually, the same thing happened to me with Bear. I almost didn't go to the audition. I was not interested. I mean, it wasn't that I was not interested. That day was a particularly crappy day. Mm-hmm. And so I just didn't feel like I was going to be in the right mood to do this. And at the time I was working, I finished work, and I worked in Glendale at the time. And the audition was in Hollywood. Hollywood Boulevard.
And you're like, I'm not making the journey.
4-hour drive.
On a weekday, right? On a weekday. In the evening.
Is there an Uber copter I can take over the hill?
Uber copter.
Right. I was like, do I really want to go to this? Do I want to go to this? Do I want to go to this? You know, fight traffic. Do I want to go to this? And something in me was like, girl, just go.
Yeah.
Just go. I was cranky by the time I got there because I couldn't find parking.
Oh, no.
So I was thinking, you know, afterwards I thought, well, you know what? I think maybe the crankiness worked for me, because Sister Chantel was a touch cranky when I auditioned.
I'm a big fan. I just have to let you know. The Bear soundtrack is a formative part of my upbringing in musical theater. So I'm a big fan. I pretty much lived Bear going to Catholic schools.
Oh, wow. Yeah. God bless you. Yeah.
So that soundtrack is very useful.
Oh, cool.
So thank God. Yeah. Thank God you went to that audition.
I did the audition, and something in me was like, well, you should be lucky you went. Because I mean, like, I did. I followed my gut. I was like, don't really want to go, but I'm just going to just go. Right. You're already here, so you might as well just go. And, you know, I met with Damon and Eric Anderson, who was our MD, and John, I think, was there, Hartner, Kristen. And, you know, I did a couple of things, and they wanted me to, you know, adjust and do something else. And I did. And Damon was Damon's like, that's it. That's it. Thank you. Yeah. So
I love that.
He's interesting. He was quite a guy. But yeah, so following your gut. I mean, I really was like, I'm not feeling this, but I guess wherever I was at that point really worked for Chantel, because really Chantel is one of those like, man, I am not feeling this today with these kids.
Right.
Don't test me today. Let's get through this. I mean, that's yeah. I was feeling like, I'm not feeling this today. I'm with these kids.
It worked.
It worked.
And Nadia, if I got to hear from you again.
God, I love that show. I'd really like that show to make it come back again. I know it's already been back, but I'd like, I'm really wanting that selfishly for myself.
I never
people that have been clamoring for that, and there's been things down the pike, but I mean, nothing that I know of is in the works unless, you know, we put it out in the universe and see what happens.
Putting it out in the universe, because I have only seen, I've not seen Stephanie do the show live. I've only seen clips online, obviously, and you know, like we had a great 2 episodes with Kristen and stuff like that. We've talked a lot about the show, and then this year with the reunion, the stuff you guys put that Kristen put together with all of you guys, it was amazing.
Yeah.
And I maybe have watched the slime tutorial, but I'm not going to say that I have or I haven't, because I don't want anybody to be mad at me. But you know, I selfishly want this to happen again so that I can see it live on stage.
Right.
Another example of like not having seen a show, seen clips, listened to it. You know, like when Steph and I were growing up, there was no internet. There were no cell phones. There was no internet. There were cast recordings that came out of usually the London cast, you know, and then maybe the Broadway cast. And,
maybe the Broadway,
you know, I have like 200 records, vinyl, of all the cast recordings that were my mom's and the ones that I used to buy when I was a kid. And we had to wait, you know, for the tour to come, right?
Right.
So, like, I knew the music from Les Mis 2 years before the tour came to LA, you know, and sobbed when the lights went down and the music started, you know. So another example of like seeing so many things and listening to so many things, and it just makes me want to see a live production of it more.
Right.
And watching the Tonys, that was what would sell me on something too.
And
yeah.
You know what else I would live for, since we didn't have videos back then, is the commercials for the shows were touring.
Yeah.
That was what I would live for.
Yeah.
If you go, like YouTube has one of Sweeney Todd when it came here.
Yes, they do. Which I saw. That was my very
first commercial for Sweeney Todd's tour. Yeah.
My very first musical was seeing Angela Lansbury and George Hearn. My mother brought her 10-year-old daughter, which people gave her shit for years. How could you bring your child to that? And it's still my favorite musical.
Commercial.
Yeah, the commercial.
Really good commercial.
Got to do a deep dive. You know.
Yeah, and this is why I wanted to watch CE Vita, is they had, when they were touring, and they did like, I think it was the original cast, the Broadway cast, they had, you know, the commercials with the Broadway cast.
Mm-hmm.
I will never forget this. It was, the song they used was Buenos Aires. And at the end of it was La Lupone in the pose,
mm-hmm.
singing the last part of Star Quality. And I was like, I have to see this show. Mom, we have to see this show. I mean, that's all we had.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like a mini video, but it wasn't, I mean, it was quick, but it was quick enough for you to go, oh, that looks good.
Yeah.
That's what we had.
Well, those are
more cats. That was the other one.
Yeah. I obviously grew up with a little more than the commercial, but I lived for Broadway World blogs. Like, those were the most mind-blowing things to me. I would lose my mind. I would literally go home from school and watch them like they were a television show. I would watch Vicky Clark in the dressing room of Light in the Piazza every damn day.
I love those.
When I was at La Mirada, they were like, I did Grumpy Old Men there, which I had done in Ogunquit. And they were like, no one in this cast really is equipped to do the vlog. They're of a certain age. You're one of the few people in the age demographic that cares about this. Would you do the vlog? I was like, it would be my honor. I was like, poor Kathy Rigby, poor Kim Page. I'm like in their face with the phone. I'm like, all right, do this. I was like, Kathy, I need you to do some backflips. I was living my life. I was like, this is my dream come true.
This is it.
I know. I was like, this is better than the Broadway debut at this point.
You know?
This is it, people.
Yeah. It's funny what we latch onto, which is why I think the Diana and then things like putting things on streaming platforms will, I think, be very beneficial going forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm so glad that my silly TikToks from the kitchen have made it to you guys and that we got to meet and chat. This has been awesome.
So wonderful to meet you.
Yeah.
We love you.
Do it in person.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I will be in LA as soon as I get my second jab. I'm coming. Our guest today has been John Badalese. Thank you again, John, so much for joining us.
Thank you guys. This has been awesome.
Amazing. I'm Noelle Hannibal.
And I'm Stephanie Anderson.
We'll see you next time.